something to see. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they advocate. And we sit back till
it's
the Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome back to our program. Today is the 26th of November. Is it the last Saturday? My goodness, of November. And I trust that all of you had sufficiently thankful Thanksgiving. And certainly all of us here did. And we were thankful for surviving another year, both as a people and a nation and ourselves, that we're here on the air once again, as we have been for, about almost 14 years now on Republic, doing our program, and thankful for many other things that we have been through and survived. And, you know, today we're going to have a very special program once again. Last week we did JFK, and this week we're going to do another episode from our history. And it's something that we should give the Heavenly Father thanks for, that some courageous voices in the past have shattered many of the myths associated with war, and World War II in particular, and what took place on December 7th of 1941, Pearl Harbor. I guess very few have not heard of Pearl Harbor, and we give the Heavenly Father thanks for this opportunity today to make it possible for the truth, finally, at this time of year, to come out once again, and more truth, more facts, more evidence of a conspiracy in that endeavor, thanks to the revelations and the courageous voices of some who have done enormous work at personal expense, I might add, and expensed sometimes their careers to be able to bring us the truth today, the facts that we shall hear from none other than Thomas K. Kimmel, who has, as you know, most of you know, he's been with us for a number of years, almost right from the beginning of this network that I've been with. And we're thankful that he could be here today to bring us up to date again on the latest of the story that will not just be buried, a story that will not, at least has not, had a conclusion as of yet. And that is the story of his grandfather, Admiral Husband E. Kimmel, and General Walter Short, who both were at Hawaii at the time of Pearl Harbor, and were totally held solely blamable for the event that propelled America into war. And with us today again, a former FBI agent, Naval Academy graduate, a scholar on Pearl Harbor, and much more, is once again Tom Kimmel. Hey, welcome to the program, Tom.
Hey, Rick, thank you very much. You said you've been on the air for 14 years. I could have sworn that the first time I talked to you was 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, it may be, but I came here a little bit later than that, and it's amazing, isn't it? It was actually 2003 that we met, I believe, at the Barnes Review Conference in Washington and the American Free Press. I introduced you to the forum. So it has been a while. You lose track of years, and it's a pleasure to have you back again.
Well, I thank you for the continuing opportunity, and you're absolutely right. This is a particularly good time for an update, because there's much going on.
And not only that, Tom, but here we are, the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Is that right?
Indeed, the 75th anniversary, and there's much to do about that. Maybe the first thing we should talk about is the fact that Admiral Kimmel's hometown of Henderson, Kentucky, has taken Admiral Kimmel under their wing as a favorite son, and on this Saturday coming is going to unveil a statue, a larger-than-life statue of Admiral Kimmel, and place it in perpetuity on the banks of the Ohio River, where Admiral Kimmel used to sail a little boat until he capsized it and had to be rescued ignominiously.
Wow. Well, I was just reading about his birthplace before we went on, and it's amazing. Kentucky, you know, my old Kentucky home, and that was his home, and certainly the Kimmel family, as we've discussed in documentaries and here on the radio, goes back to pre-Civil War times, I guess maybe to the Revolutionary War, and the families that have been involved in the military service. So it certainly is a family of definite military service to the country and to the nationhood. And so it was definitely a fortuitous event that propelled this whole investigation to begin, as you know. Since we have so many new and different listeners who don't know the story, maybe we should capsulize it again just briefly how it came to be that the history books did not close on Admiral Kimmel and General Short being blamed for dereliction of duty in 1941. Let's begin there.
Okay, I'll try and be brief here, Rick.
It's okay. We have the whole program, so you take your time.
All right, well, I keep forgetting that we need a little predication here. Not everybody knows about this.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, I'm amazed at the number of people, the young people, never even heard of it. So, indeed, a little background is definitely necessary. The watershed events of my lifetime clearly have been the Pearl Harbor attack, the John F. Kennedy assassination, and 9/11. No doubt about it. Of those three, you can take your pick, but for my family, for me personally, the watershed event of the 20th century was the Pearl Harbor attack. Now, of course, the head of the Pacific Fleet at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, was my grandfather, Admiral Husband Kimmel. He was immediately the prime suspect for what went wrong. He was just an obvious, easy target. And the powers that be, the administration, took full advantage of that. The President of the United States assigned a sitting Supreme Court Justice, Owen Roberts, to investigate the matter 9 days after the attack. 10 days after the attack, Admiral Kimmel and the head of the Army Hawaiian Department, General Short, were fired and replaced. The Supreme Court Justice began his deliberations 10 days after the Pearl Harbor attack. After Admiral Kimmel and, I should take it back, 11 days after the attack, Kimmel and, and Short were fired 10 days after the attack. The next day, Chairman Roberts began his deliberation, investigated for 36 days in a star chamber proceeding, meaning everything was secret, secret even to the defendants, who weren't even named as defendants at the time, Kimmel and Short. And at the end of the 36 days, the head of the Star Chamber proceeding, an associate Supreme Court justice of all things, shamefully declared Admiral Kimmel and General Short solely blamable for the attack and derelict in their duty. He wrote a report, sent it to the president, who signed it, sent it to the press the next day, 47 days after the Pearl Harbor attack. Rick, of course, that would have been the end of the story, soup to nuts. History would have Kimmel and Short forever damned as being the solely blamable folks for the success of the attack. And it would have been that way, but for one man, the head of the Naval Communications Intelligence, who came forward to Admiral Kimmel secretly and at great personal risk to himself and explained to Admiral Kimmel information in Washington that was available prior to the attack, which gave indications of the time, place, reason, and deceit plan to cover the attack. He explained that to Kimmel. Kimmel went from a beaten, despondent man. This is 2.5 years after the Roberts Commission. Kimmel went from a beaten man and turned into a fighting tiger, got himself legal representation, and all of the investigations subsequent to the Roberts Commission, that would be eight more investigations, were all caused to happen directly as a result of what Kimmel did with the information he got from Captain Lawrence Safford. And that information has, of course, turned the whole Roberts Commission finding on its head. And the latest iteration of that is a marvelous book, which I'm most eager to talk to you about.
Sure. You can begin.
Okay, well, the latest information that we have, the latest Pearl Harbor development, is, of course, the Henderson, Kentucky unveiling of the statue.
Right.
But it's also the unveiling, if you will, of a new book called A Matter of Honor. It was only available November 15th of this year. It's fully available on Amazon. Uh-huh. Let me hasten to add, Rick, I am not here to sell any books. There's nothing in this for me other than the very important continuation of Admiral Kimmel's goal to educate the American public on the true story of Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
That's what's in it. That's all that's in it for me. At any rate, having said that, I was interviewed by these authors. I ran into the authors as a result, curiously enough, of a book they were writing about the John F. Kennedy assassination. And the reason they were contacting me about that is because I was not working the John F. Kennedy assassination as an FBI agent, by no means, and I had really nothing at all to do with any investigation, but I was working an organized crime investigation involving Carlos Marcello. As a consequence, the authors contacted me about that. I had nothing to say about the Kennedy assassination and very little to say about Carlos Marcello except what had already been exposed through the Freedom of Information Act. At any rate, I challenged the authors after I found out that not only had they written a very comprehensive book about the Kennedy assassination, they had also written one of the best books about the 9/11 matter called Not in Your Lifetime, like something. And they had also written a biography on J. Edgar Hoover. So I'm thinking, my goodness, these people have a marvelous background to write something about Pearl Harbor. So I challenged them to do it, and they did it. And boy, did they do it well. Rick, the book is nothing short of a bombshell.
Wow.
I would call it the book ever written about the Pearl Harbor attack and Admiral Kimmel. And I am very familiar with almost all of the books. I helped Professor Gannon from the University of Florida, who wrote a marvelous book in 2001. Pearl Harbor Betrayed, still a very good book. This book takes Pearl Harbor Betrayed and goes well beyond it. They do a marvelous job. They're both excellent writers. They're Irish. At least they live in Ireland, let me put it that way. I said the book is a bombshell. This is why. Consider some of what's revealed in the book. Number one, the Washington High Command. That would be Generals Marshall, Garreau, and Miles. That's the head of the Army, head of Army War Plans, the head of Army Intelligence, and Admirals Stark, Turner, and Wilkinson. That is the head of the Navy, the head of Navy Operations, and the head of Navy Intelligence. That's the Washington High Command.
That's the top brass, yes.
Top brass. They provided false testimony and false evidence to falsely prove Rear Admiral Kimmel and Major General Short guilty of a crime. You know what you're doing when you do that, Rick?
Well, if it was under oath, and they were guilty of perjury.
Well, you're definitely guilty of that. But that's the very very definition of framing somebody. They framed them. Let me say that again. The Washington High Command provided false testimony and false evidence to falsely prove Kimmel and Short guilty of a crime. Now, that alone should be enough to compel the relief sought. And the relief we seek is posthumous advancement of Kimmel and Short on the retired list. Why do we seek that? We seek that because Kimmel and Short are the only two senior officers in World War II not to be advanced to their highest held rank.
Right.
Why were they not advanced? They were not advanced simply because the Navy Department and the Army Department omitted their names. When the Army and the Navy submitted the names to the President for advancement based upon the Officer Personnel Act of 1947, which provided for this benefit without money, just the honor of it, was bestowed on every flag and general officer. In other words, every admiral and every general who served in World War II except Kimmel and Short. There was no basis for performance involved in this. It is strictly a matter of, did you serve at that time? Everybody got it except for Kimmel and Short. The Army and the Navy merely decided we're not going to provide the names. So what do you have when you do something like that? Well, you have a submission without reference to Kimmel or Short's or anyone else's performance. This constituted a belated special disciplinary action of a punitive kind taken without notice to the officers specifically singled out for such admission. That would be Kimmel and Short. Well, this is the kind of thing they used to do in jolly old England under the common law, and something called a bill of attainder, where you pass a law and merely declare somebody guilty of a crime. This is kind of a bill of attainder in reverse. We're going to not include two people for no reason at all. There's no reason why we're not going to include them. At least there's no reason we're going to give. There really is no reason why they included who they did include, but they included everybody except Kimmel and Short. Well, for crying out loud, that is a belated special disciplinary action of a punitive kind taken without notice. This is exact opposite of anybody's concept of due process. At any rate, that's the relief we seek right there.
Well, right from the beginning of the Roosevelt administration, there was basically, I would say, a conspiracy to not only to engineer Pearl Harbor, with J.O. Richardson beforehand being relieved of his post since he protested the denuding of Pearl Harbor, but the whole affair, we'll get into Operation Magic and we'll get into all of that later, but in essence, you had to have two people to be set up for a hangman's noose and then continue. It really had to be called a conspiracy to do harm to these two gentlemen for all time and eternity. And as you said, were it not for the call from Safford to your grandfather, the whole matter would have been forgotten, and these two men would have been just burned in effigy forever. And that would have been a consummate injustice that would just be unpardonable in itself. But so here we have the top brass of the Navy, the intelligence community at the time, and all doing their darnest to hang poor man and General Short with him. All right, so hey, I hear the music, Tom. Give me a chance to catch up and rest a moment, and we'll come back with Thomas K. Kimmel, grandson of Admiral Kimmel, right here on Rick Adams, Censored on Public Broadcast. We'll return.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back, folks. Now, listen up, please, and we'll see if we have time later in the program to take a couple of calls for Tom Kimmel. But right now, we're intently listening to this chronology again and the updates since he was here earlier this year, talking about different aspects of the Pearl Harbor story. But Tom is a Pearl Harbor scholar, and you can imagine all of the knowledge that you have, Tom, of all of these years of studying and researching and going through thousands upon thousands of pages of declassified information under the Freedom of Information Act. So we're just getting a little bird's eye view again today, a little tip of the iceberg of what really most Americans, as you say, probably have no idea about, and many today don't even know that Pearl Harbor existed. So, all right, let's continue. Get right back, and then the next break in a few minutes, we'll come back for a long span of talk. So go ahead, continue, okay. Saga.
All right, let me add, I'm still trying to extol the virtues of this new book, A Matter of Honor, by Anthony Summers and his wife, Robin Swan. They have taken reams of information, not only what I had, and I had a lot of information, but they have parlayed that into some marvelous research well beyond what I have done. And they are helping to get the word to the American public about the facts of Pearl Harbor. Now, the reason it's so important to do that now is because I learned a little bit about the publishing business. And apparently the publishing business is utterly dependent upon sales for Christmas time. And that's just a fact of life. And stimulating those sales in the number one consideration is the Amazon website for selling these books. So what I would urge anybody with an interest, get a hold of this book, A Matter of Honor. And again, I don't get anything out of it. I certainly don't get any money out of any of this stuff, but I do get the opportunity to promote a vehicle to get the public knowledgeable about the Pearl Harbor story.
Right.
And this, and what really does it, is if you write a five-star review for Amazon, because the New York Times and other publishing entities take knowledge of that. They take notice of that. And they'll sell more books. But again, I'm not here to sell the books. I'm here to get the information to the American public. And by going to Amazon, reading the book, writing a positive review, a five-star review, hopefully. Of course, if you don't think it's five stars, you can do whatever you want, and including nothing. But to continue, what is demonstrated so well in the book, mainly because of the research involved by these authors and the ability to write. This is something I can't even begin to match, their ability to write. Here's an example of what they have found. The Washington High Command told the Roberts Commission that Kimmel and Short had the same information in Hawaii as they had in Washington, D.C. That misinformation was calculated to do and did Kimmel and Short irreparable prejudice. The Washington High Command, as officers and decent human beings, knowing full well what they had done, had an obligation to immediately rectify the prejudice to Kimmel and Short from such deplorable misinformation. They did not do so. That alone should be enough to compel the relief sought. But it continues. A third example. The Washington High Command discussed magic freely with the Roberts Commission in 1941. When, Rick, an impression could be left that Kimmel and Short actually had magic out in Hawaii. But in 1944, when that was no longer possible, the Washington High Command declared that magic could not be discussed with the Naval Court of Inquiry or the Army Pearl Harbor Board. Clearly, the Washington High Command was playing games with the truth.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, nor the last.
New information. You know, most of these books, and there are some others that have come out, just taking advantage of the December 7th date.
Right,
So far, I haven't seen anything, and there are some, and I'll discuss them with you if we have time. They are a rehash, or they just flat contain misinformation. Amazingly, still containing terribly wrong information. Not just misleading information, just information that's flat wrong. I'll get to that maybe later if we have time. But back to this book, A Matter of Honor. New information aplenty.
Tom, I'm sorry, hold that thought. Getting back to A Matter of Honor, because this short break is coming up once again, and then we'll have plenty of time to be able to continue with those thoughts. All right, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back again. Tom Kimmel, my guest.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com. And learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Yes, we're back, folks. Back to the book, A Matter of Honor. Right now, folks, Tom Kimmel, go ahead. Continue to quote from the book.
Okay, well, I'm still trying to convince your listeners that this book is indeed as worthy as I think it is. Mm-hmm. Consider the new information. There's new information aplenty in this book.
Yes.
Here's some more of it. Number one, how the head of Army Counterintelligence in Washington, D.C., tried to blow the whistle as an FBI informant. It's an amazing story. Wow. Nowhere else published. Number two, how Justice Roberts perjured himself to the Joint Congressional Committee about that informant's information and did so with the FBI's acquiescence. Number three, how the Navy Department grossly misled Admiral Kimmel regarding the known threat from airdropped shallow water torpedoes. If we have time, I'll give some detail on that. Number four, how the Navy Department even misled its own Naval Court of Inquiry regarding the known threat from airdropped shallow water torpedoes. The Naval Court of Inquiry styled these shallow water torpedoes so successfully used by the Japanese as a secret weapon unknown to any other Navy in the world. That, of course, was not true. The Naval Court of Inquiry thought it was true. Admiral Kimmel thought it was true. But the Navy Department in Washington, D.C. knew absolutely it was not true. They had withheld information from Admiral Kimmel by accident or design, it doesn't make much difference to Admiral Kimmel, that the British were capable of successfully airdropping torpedoes in water much shallower than the shallow water in Hawaii, in Pearl Harbor. Kimmel had no idea of that. Number five, another item, how the Navy Department grossly misled Kimmel regarding available spy reports. There are some very relevant spy reports prior to Pearl Harbor that Kimmel had no idea existed, and they were terribly relevant to Kimmel's problem in Pearl Harbor, in Hawaii. Another item, we're up to about six items I'm listing now, how Marshall and Stark misled Kimmel and Short regarding Secretary of State Hull's decision to send his November 26, 1941 American note or ultimatum. Recall, Secretary of State Cordell Hull on November 26, 1941 sent a blistering note to Japan saying, get out of China or else. At the time, we knew Japan could not accept this note, but it was absolutely verified through the interception of Japanese dispatches in the program we called MAGIC, verifying that the Japanese not only could not use that note as a basis of further negotiations, but considered it a humiliating proposal. In no way could they use it as a basis of negotiation. Things are automatically going to happen now, and it set up a response to that note. And we knew all about this because we are reading their secret communications. Their response was going to be delivered in 14 parts. It was going to be delivered in English. In English, not Japanese, in English.
Wow. Yeah, incredible.
Literally indicating that the Japanese were going to make a statement for history, justifying what they were about to do. None of this information went to Kimmel. What did go to Kimmel was a November 5th joint memorandum from the head of the Army and the head of the Navy. That would be General Marshall and Admiral Stark, a joint memorandum to President Roosevelt on November 5th, 1941, in which Marshall and Stark were pleading for more time to get the military ready for action. And their bottom line recommendation was to the president, do not send the Japanese an ultimatum. That memorandum, a copy of it, was actually sent to Admiral Kimmel. Admiral Kimmel received it in late November. What was not known or ever known to Admiral Kimmel until after the attack was that President Roosevelt completely ignored the recommendation of the head of their army and the head of the Navy not to send an ultimatum to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
He went right ahead and sent it on November 26, 1941. Kimmel had no idea that that ultimatum had been sent. And, of course, the Army Pearl Harbor Board would later style that ultimatum as the document that touched the
button. That was unprecedented, really, in history, wasn't it, though? You think about it, two people far removed from Washington at the very scene of the coming war would be totally left unknowledgeable, out of the loop of intelligence, out of the loop from the White House, to them directly to make preparations, in a sense.
Yeah. One of the, I'll leave the book with this last, in my view, lullapalooza of an item, and that is the authors demonstrate beyond anybody's ability to doubt, they demonstrate how the Chief of Naval Operation Admiral Stark's perjury before the Naval Court of Inquiry was even worse than Marshall's perjury before the Army Pearl Harbor Board. And that, Rick, is really saying something.
Wow. And we'll get into why they said that in a moment. I know that Summers' book, the author of I guess he did some 9 acclaimed nonfiction books, The 11th Day on 9/11, as you referred to earlier, also did some books and received the Golden Dagger Award, the Crime Writers Association, top nonfiction awards. And here we have to go basically outside of America to get others in Europe and elsewhere to do some research. And I note that as of the last looking that I looked at on the Amazon sales, it had sold around 65 or 70,000 editions or copies. Would you say that's not very much, or would you say that's about normal?
I really don't know. The more the merrier. The more we can get this word out to the public, the better.
I would say, you know, that in right now, Tom, and this is in line with what we're talking about, book publishing today is not what it was, as you know, 10, 20 years ago with the Internet and, the reading online and the Kindles and PDFs, files and so forth. So there are many ways of, filtering down the information. But I would say that today the average run, of books that come out every week, so many books are off the presses, is in the tens of thousands, and if they do that, 50,000, that's considered to be quite an accomplishment in itself. So, be that as it may. Yeah, so this it's amazing how Stark and the others could go before under perjury and just lie and besmirch and set up for a lynching, so to speak, Short and Kip. And to go to their graves knowing this is just, to me, it's just unpardonable.
Well,
but they did. That's my commentary.
Well, that's a perfectly appropriate comment, and I don't know how anybody can deny it would be any more poignant. In the book, this is just my view of it, but of course I am very biased. I'll be the first to admit this. The often told story is, and I won't repeat it because I've got something else to say, is that after President Roosevelt received the 13th part of the 14th part message. The fellow who delivered it, Lieutenant Commander Shultz, delivered it to the White House. The President of the United States, according to Shultz's testimony under oath to the Joint Congressional Committee, said this means war. And, of course, investigators wanted to know, would it be possible for the Commander-in-Chief, the President, to read a secret communication from the enemy, declare this means war, and not immediately reach out to the head of his army and the head of his navy? And, of course, this is 9:30 p.m. Saturday evening, December 6th, the evening before the morning attack on Sunday morning at Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
investigators wanted to try and find out where in the world, what happened after the president said this means war. What did he do? He would have to reach out to the head of his army, head of his navy. It would be a dereliction on his part for him not to do so. So they started with the head of the army, General Marshall, asked him where he was Saturday night, and of course he famously couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I won't go into that story, but that's pretty
but
much the end of Marshall.
Impeccable memory otherwise, though, didn't he?
He had a reputation for photographic memory, but I'll get to the head of the Chief of Naval Operations, because that story is even worse, and mm-hmm. that is he couldn't remember either. And then his flag lieutenant reminded him where he was, and he also reminded him that he was with the flag lieutenant and their wives after going to the National Theater. They returned to the Chief of Naval Operations quarters. They were met by the houseboy, who said the president had called him and wanted Stark to call him back. He excused himself, went to his library, came back a few minutes later, and reported to the flag secretary, Captain Harold Crick, that he was in conversation with the president on the telephone discussing the deteriorating situation in the Pacific. So Crick, reminding Stark of this, forced Stark to go back to the Joint Congressional Committee, which had ended its proceedings. They had closed down. The chairman of the Joint Congressional Committee was embarrassed and had to reopen the proceedings, took the testimony from Harold Crick, but Stark still got up there after Crick had refreshed his recollection. Instead, he still couldn't remember where he was that Saturday evening, and certainly didn't remember talking to the President of the United States. So that ended that. Until this year, and in this book, Rick, in this book, mm-hmm. here's the story. In 1981, Admiral Stark's flag lieutenant, William Smedberg, he was one of seven aides for Admiral Stark. Smedberg wrote a reminiscence, which was published in 1981. In that reminiscence, Smedberg said this, and I quote, "I, Admiral Smedberg, kept a wax cylinder record of everything that President Roosevelt said to Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Stark. The president would call up and say, 'Betty,' a nickname for Admiral Stark, 'I want this done right away.' And he'd give Admiral Stark five or six things in rapid-fire order. Admiral Stark would say, 'Yes, Mr. President, yes, Mr. President, yes, Mr. President.' Mm-hmm. Have you got that, Betty?" "Yes, Mr. President." And he'd hang up. A buzzer would ring in my office, and I'd go in to hear Admiral Stark say, "Did you get all that, Smitty?" "Yes, sir," I said. "Well, get going on it," ordered Stark. Smedberg went on to say, "I monitored nearly every conversation Admiral Stark had, and I made a record of almost all of them. Every now and then, when it was a personal thing, Admiral Stark would tell me to destroy the record." Okay, that's what we knew in 1981. But we didn't find out until this year, and it's contained in this book. I personally think it's a highlight of the book. There's so many mm-hmm. highlights, it's distinguished.
Yeah.
Here's what we have learned, and it's in the book. The Naval Court of Inquiry, in 1944, that date is very important, because President Roosevelt's still alive. He doesn't decease until, if I recall, April 12, 1945. So President Roosevelt is still alive. Well, the Naval Court of Inquiry is extensively interrogating Admiral Stark. Question number 388 from the Naval Court of Inquiry to Admiral Stark. Did you, Admiral Stark, ever keep any record? I'm going to say that again, Rick, because as an FBI agent, I love the way this question is poised. Opposed. It leaves no wiggle room. This is the way an investigator is supposed to ask the question. Did you, Admiral Stark, ever keep any record of your conversations with the president during the year 1941? Admiral Stark's answer, no, I did not. Okay, what are we to make of that? Wow. Well, as I said, President Roosevelt is still alive. What if Admiral Stark had not lied in responding to that question and had answered it truthfully and said, yes, I told my flag lieutenant, William Smedberg, to keep a recording device on my phone every time the President of the United States called up. I can only imagine what Roosevelt, who's still alive, would have done to Admiral Stark at that time. You know, much of the justification or the defense for all the lying to the Naval Court of Inquiry and the Army Pearl Harbor Board. You know, the Army Pearl Harbor Board, not only did Marshall lie, he ordered all of his subordinates to lie, too. And they did. We actually have an affidavit from General Miles, the head of Army Intelligence, that said, hey, the reason I lied to the Army Pearl Harbor Board is because General Marshall ordered me to lie to
I
the
was
Army
told
Pearl
to
Army
do it. Yeah.
Okay, well,
and they all talked
the
about false orders. Amazing.
Well, subordination of perjury in spades. But the reason is ostensibly to keep the fact that we were decoding Japanese communications secret. So almost anything was okay in order to guard that secret. The interesting thing about this question to Admiral Stark about wiretapping President Roosevelt is it's got nothing whatsoever to do with keeping magic and our ability with decoding Japanese messages secret. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just a flat-out lie. And, of course, Admiral Stark had no idea that Admiral Smedberg was going to blow the whistle ever. He thought that that was something that was take it to the grave stuff as far as Stark.
What if, let me ask you this. This is a conjecture question, but if, in fact, Roosevelt still being alive at the time under failing health and so on and so forth, nevertheless it came out that all of this was going on at the time that he was still alive and leading back to the White House. You know, the buck stops here really didn't become a famed quote until Truman took over, but nevertheless, what if that had come out and Roosevelt would be forced to make a statement, if the press would push him a little bit to make a statement about Stark and the others and the army, you know, the head of the army, George Marshall, would that have been enough to start the ball rolling with regard to Roosevelt's head on the chopping block and the whole mythology of getting into the war? Do you think that would have been devastating?
Well, the potential is virtually unlimited, and of course, the answer to your question is, I don't know. But
right,
immediately, you have to think in terms of the Watergate tapes. If the Watergate never been made public, President Nixon would have served out his term, I think.
I
can't imagine that they would have been able to get him out without the evidence of the Watergate tapes. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Now, I don't know, what was on. I don't
You also have Stimson, the Secretary of War, who we've discussed many times, admitted in his official diaries, you know, that we must maneuver the Japanese into firing the first shot, but not allow for too many casualties. Well, there were like 2,400 or whatever casualties, men killed, for lack of a euphemistic term, at Pearl Harbor. And we've discussed how they knew the exact time. That is, Washington knew the exact time through magic. They knew the location of the attack and did everything they could to allow it to happen. So we have Secretary of Stinson working as well, cahoots with them. And this would have exploded right in the face of Roosevelt and others. You can just imagine the incredible damage to them. All right, we'll come back, Tom. We got a break, all right? We'll come back. Tom E. Kimmel and the Pearl Harbor story. Listen up, folks.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All right. Okay, folks, we're back. Boy, how fast time does fly. Almost at the end of the first hour here, Tom Kimmel with me again today. So happy that, Tom, you've been around all of these years to tell the story and to continue to educate the public, whoever has ears to hear, you know, to listen to some basic fundamental truth. And so we continue, and you made so much good reference, you know, to A Matter of Honor and the latest book to come out this year. And I know you mentioned earlier there are a number of other, you know, sort of fly-by-night type of commercial enterprisers that are cashing in just like the JFK thing and so forth. But still, there are some books and some treaties, and you've done some yourself on your forum that that you can sink your teeth into and you can go to the bank with. And I just brought up just a couple of theoretical situations that need to be addressed. And I don't know. I haven't read the book yet, but I am going to purchase it and maybe help spur some additional sales online and to be able to read it, because this would make a dynamite film, make a dynamite motion picture. And so far, you know, we haven't had anything but the usual run-of-the-mill propaganda, you know, from Hollywood. And it's amazing. The silence has been deafening. But those are just my two words in between here. I'll let you continue from now because you have so much to say. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. I'm not sure. Am I on here for just this?
You're on the air. You're on here for the 2 hours, I think, today, because this is too important to just give a cursory listen to. And besides, you haven't been on with us since I believe it was sometime in the summer. It's been a long time, and the 75th anniversary is just this coming week. So you know, I think we could not spend enough time on this subject. You know, I only regret, and we're coming up on the 1 hour break anyway, so let me just slide into it. But I only regret that your grandfather were not alive when I was doing some talk radio, and I could have been able to interview him perhaps and meet with him, because he must have been quite a charming and effervescent and a very talkative kind of guy, I guess, huh?
Well, I don't know about talkative, but he certainly had a presence about him. When he talked, you listened, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but I can picture him. You were his grandson, and you know, he had other grandchildren, obviously, his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren now, and so forth, that would like to hear some real war stories, you know, in reverse, into how he was victimized by the Washington bureaucracy and so forth. So that...
Well, I was most fortunate that I was 2 years out of the Naval Academy when he deceased. He didn't decease until 1968 at the ripe old age of 86. And even then, his mind was sharp as a tack. His body eventually gave out, but his mind was always a wonderful thing to behold. And every time I visited him, it didn't take more than about 2 minutes, and the subject would go to Pearl Harbor. Sure. I visited him on many occasions, and I was delighted even then that the subject went that way, because fortunately I was smart enough to realize that this was the real thing. My only regret is I didn't know more about it at the time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So it goes.
Yeah, you know, also imagine the burden on him that even a man like him and General Short probably thought, because of all of the conditioning and the media and all of the disgrace that they heaped upon them, that they were in some great way responsible for dereliction of duty. And as you used to say all the time, he was perfectly capable of committing suicide. He was so despondent. And then he turned around with Safford's call and the attorneys and so forth. So that's quite a good story in itself. All right, we have a break right now. Tom, stay with us. We'll come right back with hour number two.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.